Oh man, hold on, Alex. Let me take this background out of here.
No worries. No worries.
Oh man, how do I do this? Hold on a minute. Oh, I know how to do it.
There you go. There you
All
go.
right.
That's pretty cool,
Because
man.
I teach on the weekends, and sometimes that's like my school meeting
Okay.
background that I need to have.
All good, man. All good. How about
Nice to meet
everyone?
you. So you're in the UK, huh?
Yeah, in the UK right now, it's like wait, as you know, it's around 11 right now, 11 p.m.
And how are you getting your energy?
You know, we do what we do, man. You know, you find it somewhere. You work with kids, you know what that's like.
If I have kids, I've got cats, and they're pretty much like my kids, so.
Hey, you know, it's just one of those things where you find it when you need it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm grabbing my energy here with this Colombian oat milk double latte coffee right here. That's
Yeah,
how it
and
goes.
coffee helps as well, you know, coffee helps as well.
It's 23
You drink
hours.
coffee?
I had a little sip earlier on, just in case, you know. But you know, if I fall asleep, just know I tried, you know. It's
Yeah,
one of those.
we won't fall asleep because we're talking about things that you're passionate about. And that's usually what keeps people awake. It's the fire, that things that light you up.
You know,
And
you
that's.
make a good point. You make a good point.
So, yeah, let's get this started. Let's talk about some poetry here. I love it.
Absolutely. So Lino Martinez, you're a producer. You have your own podcast. You're a host. You're a poet.
Yeah.
And doctorate, clinical psychology. You're a psychologist. But not
All
only
right.
that, you've had quite a situation, a genetic disease, I believe. And
Yeah.
not only that, but 40 years of surgeries over 10 years.
Yeah, over
That's a
40
lot, man.
surgeries in about 10 years, yeah.
That's quite a lot. I would have to start by saying, despite your accomplishments, you've clearly been through a great deal throughout your life. I would
Absolutely.
imagine that either way, it's hard to say that, you know, it's not, it doesn't come close to breaking a person going through so many things.
Right.
What's your take on your experience so far? But you know, just like summary in a sense.
So my take on what everything that I've gone through, so I'm a very spiritual person and I believe in reincarnation and I believe in incarnation. And so, I mean, if you were to ask me this question even just 5 years ago, I'd have a totally different response.
Yeah.
But the response that I give you now, after becoming very spiritual and meditative and praying a lot and just coming in closer to contact with my higher self, I've come to realize and understand that we all come here for a purpose. And it may have been that I signed up for it to experience everything that I experienced, either to learn lessons or to relate to the world. Either way, I've done both. I can relate to so many different people on so many different levels because of everything that I've gone through. And I love that. I love humanity. And that's what makes me passionate about life, like just being able to relate and connect with people. And so, I mean, everything that I've gone through and everything that I've survived was to be able to talk about my message, to spread the word of love, and to keep shining my light and to allow others to shine their light too. So, I feel that, yeah, there was a lot of suffering that I went through, but I'm on the other side of suffering to tell other people and to show other people that smiling is still an available concept at the end of the dark room. So yeah, we can still keep going despite our challenges.
That's beautiful, man. I'll second that. Like you said, it's still currency is smiling, isn't it? You know, that's a
Yeah,
beautiful thing.
definitely.
Okay, let me share something with you, and then we kind of go into a bit more discussion.
Sure.
This is the quote I picked for today. I thought it was apropos with what we're about to speak about. As it goes, petroleum on these words, so they burn. Through the insecurities, despite my own concern, the brain churns in spite of the unlearned. Saving oneself is such a hard sitting bird. Truth to the word makes them hard to discern. The way for the ineffective to fly like a bird away from the moments I craft, like cyclical, the word. My brain factory produce monuments like factories. They transcend in the end like a better version of me. Though these lines I create my own on timely chimes to tell of the sweetest times through the glory and the unkind. Though the glory has been one that felt good being left behind. We transcend time.
I love that. That's like in alignment with everything I just said right now.
Yeah. I really wanted to kind of share something with you that you can kind of quite relate to, especially with your story and your experience on life. So I hope that, you know, did you justice.
It's incredible. I mean, I feel every single word, the transcendence part, the glory. What made you write this?
I think I was going through my own experience in a sense where, you know, despite everything I've gone through, it's almost like I'm still here and I'm positive, you know, and I still think there's substance in smiling, like as you were saying before.
Yeah.
And just life in general, it still means something to me. And so I really wanted to kind of share almost like a lens from a little bit of the past and the present and the future in terms of like my perspective on each, and just showing how reflectively I'm still positive. I'm still in a good place mentally and better than before in a sense.
And so what keeps you staying in this positive state that you're in right now?
I think for me, it's pretty much what I do now. You know, like you said, the passion of what I do now and just discovering that this is for me. And it's a journey, it's a path. I take it serious and it's almost like a reciprocal relationship. I take care of you, you take care of me, in a sense, you know, that type of thing. So, I enjoy what I do, and what I do, people tend to enjoy it, and I appreciate, and because of that, I want to give more, because that's important to me now, you know? I've grown to a point where I think that's a big part of it, you know, giving back.
Definitely giving back. And so you feel that by sharing your poetry and your lyrics and your words and your sentiment or emotions is giving back?
Absolutely. Just in a sense of like sharing things that people, that resonates with people or they can relate to. And you never know, because people, they might not necessarily have the skill set or the ability to put it in a way, or even want to be vulnerable to the extent where they express themselves to this level where somebody can really see them and what they're going through. So sometimes it's best to hear from somebody else, you know, just express it, you know?
And when did you start writing, Alex?
Oh man, it's been a while, since early teenage years.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So I give or take around 20 years or so. Yeah.
That's a long time.
You know,
yeah, I started writing poetry when I was 7 years old, and I think you could say maybe I was like a really depressed kid and really sad and stuff, kind of going through a lot of stuff. And so I found that I had a natural way of expressing myself, and that was through writing.
Yes.
And I started very young, and I don't have any of those incredible poems that I wrote back then, but I remember being a teenager and finding those things and thinking like, how in the world did a 7-year-old write this? And the only thing I can gather from that is just higher wisdom. And it's almost like channeling the higher self of me, a higher part of me, and maybe even angels. I'm not sure who I'm channeling, but the same thing goes for me now.
Yeah.
When I write, it's like it just flows through me. And sometimes I could write 5-6 poems in a night and I'm hooked. Time doesn't matter. I'm in the zone and it feels so good. Do you go through the same thing?
Absolutely. I tend to do it these days. I tend to do a bit different, where not necessarily so many in one night. What I try and do these days, I pretty much do it like every day or every 2 days or every 3 days. 3 days the most I would write something. So I tend to kind of always give myself the chance to kind of express. And when you do it as much, it's almost like you really have to kind of, you know, sometimes it might be a challenge if you're not really really in tune with what your craft, to find something to write about all the time. So it just kind of challenges me to really kind of dig deep and really kind of refine my craft, my skill set, and really understand what I'm writing. And just, it's almost like, it's like I'm composing music in a sense. Do you get what I mean? Where it's almost like everything means something.
We are.
And so it's just a different, it's like science to me now. You know, it's just a different thing when I put it together.
It totally is. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah, lately I've been writing a lot about love. I used to write a lot about pain and stuff like that I went through, but lately I've been kind of changing it to write about love. Can I share one of my poems with you?
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, I was going to welcome you to share something as well. So yeah, man.
Let's hear it. So, yeah, for those tuning in for the first time, I'm Dr. Lino Martinez. I host A Little Less Fear podcast, and I've got two Instagrams. One is at A Little Less Fear podcast, and my newest one is called poetic.alignment. And I just started this a couple months ago, and it's video poetry where I find a video online on an app, one that resonates with the poem that I wrote, and then I voice over it, and then I put music to it. So
this one's like a tone poem.
What's that?
I think they call it a tone poem over here.
A tone poem?
Yeah, with like music in the background and stuff.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, tone poem. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. If heaven is a day with you, heaven awakens a night with you. Heaven creates new memories and new smiles with you, with us, under the stars, until we awaken the next day. Heaven is in the way you touch me, in the way you look at me, and the way you are sincere. It's true. Heaven is on earth. So yeah, that's one that I have on there.
That's powerful, man. That's powerful. I like that. I like that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can tell it comes from the heart as well. Very candid, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, writing from the heart, that's really incredible that you say that, because I feel that pretty much when I do write, it's always from the heart. I don't really feel that it's coming from my heart or mind or my brain.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that I write, is it comes with purity, and I don't second guess what I write. It just comes out of me. And when it feels good and I know that I can dedicate it to the world, then I know that it's right. And it's always right, because it always feels pleasant and peaceful.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. But I think that's the best way, as a writer, that's the best way to go about. Because one of my pet peeves, especially when I'm writing, one of the code I live by in terms of like being a creator, is it's got to be come from a place of honesty. You've got to be candid. You've got to be honest with yourself. Also, I like to think of it as almost like... I'm staring at myself in the mirror, and I'm pretty much just kind of just going off what I really see, what's truly there, you know?
Yeah.
And over time you realize not everybody can do that, you know? it takes some courage sometimes to really just kind of just say it like it is. And because now it's kind of like, if you see what it is and you have an issue, you have no excuse not to do anything about it. Or not excuse to try and be better for yourself, at least, you know? So
speaking your truth and being your authentic nature.
Being your authentic nature and just being honest with yourself, you know? And that breeds growth, you know, because I'm very big on growth as well.
Oh, totally, absolutely. Do you have a favorite thing to write about?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say necessarily favorite thing. At this point, it's almost like I try my best to be versatile with it. Not necessarily one thing I write about. I try to make it about anything. So if we're talking about being profound, I would have days where when I get up, I'm just like, I want to be profound today. If it's wordplay, I get up, I wanna have fun with it. You know, when I'm writing about wordplay type of poetry, it's just like me just wanna have fun, you know? When it's actually just sometimes you wake up and you have so many questions, and you pour questions into the pieces, and it's almost like you might want to express yourself between those questions. You do that as well. Sometimes you just want to ask certain questions, you have certain thoughts in your head, and you just want to express it, you know. But by doing that, it's almost like, okay, now you've opened the door, and now you have to walk through it, and you have to tell everybody else what did you see. You know, yeah. So that means you kind of have to elaborate on everything, and that's almost like you just create a universe now.
Definitely. When people ask, what did you see? Then you could tell them what you saw with your own words, with your own sentiment, with your own feelings.
Your own feelings.
And that gives it your own personal signature. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Yeah. It's almost like your DNA to creativity, in a sense.
We are. We definitely are.
So yeah. Somebody reads your work, they can tell, okay, yeah, I wrote this. You get what I mean? Just like, they can tell, they can hear it. You know,
oh yeah, definitely.
Verbiage alone should be like a sign. It's almost like a signature. You know,
it is a signature. There are times. Does this ever happen to you? There are times where I'm driving, or I'm lost in thought, or actually, even as random as being at the grocery store, and all of a sudden I'll get a line in my head.
Yeah.
The power of your touch is, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, the power of your touches, the power of your touches, the power of your touches. And I have to can't wait to get home and write it down. And then all of a sudden it just starts flowing. The power of your touch is as magical and electric as my feet on the grass. I can feel the green marshes wrapping around my ankles the way your arms did last night when we made love. You know, it just kind of like keeps going and going. Like right now, I just spit it out. You know, I don't even know where that's going, but it's kind of like it just starts channeling through. And that's the feeling I love the most. And you know what's crazy, Alex, is that there's very minimal things in this world that get me going like that. It's like writing is very unique to me since I was a little kid, and I love it. And I'm glad that I can talk about this with you, because there aren't, I don't know many poets at all. So it's, I remember my father is not very poetic. And as a kid, I used to read him my poems, and he used to be like, okay, I don't understand this, but okay. You know, and I'm like, all right.
Listen, you said a lot. I understand what you mean. There's not a lot of people. I think it's one of those things where it's so eclectic to an extent, unless you're going to a specific place where you know it's going to be a community of like so many similar minded people like yourself that create the way you do. You're most likely not going to meet a lot of poets out there, or people that just kind of just, you know, unless you go to like, say, certain places where people are kind of fond of words or just wordplay in general, because I think majority of people enjoy wordplay. If because most people enjoy rap to an extent, but you know, with poetry you go even deeper than that, and it's almost like you tap into a place where people don't necessarily want to go, but when they listen to the words, it's almost like they don't really have a choice, because if you do it right, you know, it's almost like they access that type of frequency through the words and just the projection alone, and it takes them to another level. And you know, it's almost like protest. You can't avoid it. You know, it speaks volumes to you. I think that's why it's so powerful. You know, and so many things that cultivates from that whole experience for people, it's hard for them to shake it. You can clearly tell, like sometimes, you know, people just want to express to you, but it's almost like maybe they probably weren't even planning to, you know, share this experience, but it hits them so deep that they want you to know, you know.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
what were we gonna say? I was gonna ask you something.
Go ahead, ask me.
I wanted to ask you, what has being a psychologist as you are, and the experiences that you had, as well as being a poet, how has that changed, how has that enhanced your perspective on just like your experiences, especially as a poet?
That's an excellent question. So, you know, it's interesting because when I went to school, I knew from the time I was 5 years old that I was going to be some kind of doctor. I thought maybe an MD. I didn't know I was going to have my doctorate in psychology. I just knew that that was going to be my journey somehow as a kid.
Yes.
But I feel that it was already part of my personal development or personality that I was going to go all the way in school, whatever all the way meant.
Yes.
And it wasn't going to stop me. And so, but in the shape of education, I mean, being educated in psychology can be a lot of hard facts. It's not very poetic. It's not very spiritual.
Yes.
And I felt that there was a missing link there in psychology because I'm not just hard facts. There's a lot of philosophy churning inside me, a lot of poetic philosophy, but not enough for me to get my doctorate in philosophy because I like both worlds. I like science and I like hard facts and I like the flexibility and the flow of poetic justice. Like, I like it all. I like the whole human experience. And so what actually got me to dive a little deeper there was living in hospitals for 10 years. And after going through to so many surgeries, I didn't watch TV ever. Yeah. I read books and I've got a lot of books on Rumi. You know, I got a lot of journals. So I was writing a lot and reading a lot of poetry. And so that 10-year break that I got out of not being a professor and out of not having students or teaching or being a therapist or whatnot, I really got to go in deep within myself because that was the time that I was struggling the most with pain. And it seems that when a lot of people are in pain, and I wish it wasn't this way, that's usually when they go inward. Yes. They go inward, like, okay, let's go inward. What's going on? What do I need to learn? What are my lessons? And through that is when I started to integrate more of my spirituality, more of my higher self, and more of my passions. And so now that I'm on the other side, I'm able to integrate some of the theories that I've learned in psychology and wrap that around and bring it together with my poetic mind. And my poetic mind is being very creative. So I'm able to add a lot of creativity. For example, I'm a professor, so I'm able to add my creativity when I teach classes with some of the stuff that I've learned in my poetic mind, but unraveling it to make sense of sport with students in the psychology field. So, I mean, it's really helped me to add different ingredients and make my own special soup. And I feel that collectively as a world, we're all evolving. We're currently evolving and we're also meshed together, but at the same time coming apart to see each other and the like ways that we are. And I feel that there's a huge movement with that. And I love that I'm part of that movement because the difference between like who I was before and who I am now is somebody more authentic with more love and I'm more grounded. And I couldn't have asked for a better place to be than where I'm at right now.
That's powerful. So it's almost like you used your ability as a poet to almost cultivate a different type of understanding, or like to conjure a different type of intrigue or like understanding for somebody from the outside coming into the field that you're in as a professor of psychologist, almost like for them to better engage perhaps with your field and the understanding of your work, perhaps even more of an intrigue maybe, so they can actually enjoy it maybe as much as you do, it sounds like.
I think so, and I hope so. But I want to add something else, Alex. So one of the things that the disease does is it causes atypical paralysis in parts of my body. And one of the things that I lost for 2.5 years was my voice. It paralyzed my vocal cords. And I was becoming deaf and mute. I wore hearing aids. And so when I was becoming deaf and mute, that was actually one of the hardest times in my life. And I had no other choice when I couldn't talk for 2.5 years and to go to school and learn sign language because I wasn't going to stop communicating. Mm-hmm. And within that silence, I wrote a lot more and I was able to learn a new language. And when people sign to speak, there's more beauty in that. And when I saw that beauty, it led me to see life in a more beautiful manner. And I was able to translate a lot. And you know, the hardest thing for me was translating poetry, writing a poem so that it translated into sign language. And to this day, I have that challenge because signing has a different sentiment and a different emotion than the way we feel when we hear a word or see it, or even if it rhymes. There's no such thing as rhyming for deaf people. Yeah. Rhyming is for only people that can hear. So how am I going to make this poem be felt to a deaf person if they can only see what you sign and feel what you sign? And so I was becoming really challenged, like, how can my poetry change? How can I make it more understandable to both people that can hear and people that can't hear? And that's really what I feel brought me over to another level, having deaf friends and asking them, does this make sense? When they would read it, they'd either say, no, it doesn't make sense to me, or, oh, that's nice. You know, so it was, it's a challenge, still is a challenge, but it's been a really beautiful learning experience in changing the way that I write and think.
That's a lot of food for thought. I've never really thought about that, the translation situation. So what did you, how did you close that gap? I would ask, in terms of like cultivating a type of better projection for somebody, that can't necessarily hear the words.
I can't really say that I've closed that gap because I felt a little intimidated. I went to a deaf theater with some of my deaf friends, and I saw these, which was, oh my goodness, very emotional. These things will make you cry. And I saw these deaf, completely deaf people on stage performing some of their poetry. And there was a woman doing the audible with the microphone. You're able to hear what they were signing. So I was able to watch, and the things, the way that they express themselves, I would have to be so fluent, Alex, so fluent in order for me to be where they're at their level and be able to feel language a certain way with a different type of sentiment. And I'm not there. So I have not closed that gap. And I'm still have a goal to learn sign language fluently. There's a reason why I lost my voice. There's a reason why I love the deaf community and the reason why I learned some sign language. But right now at like a first, second grade level, that's not enough. It's like telling a second grader, can you write me an awesome poem coming from your heart? And they're going to be like, sure. You know, I played t-ball the other day and who know, you know what I mean? It's like, in order to go deep, you have to be deep in the culture.
You have to be deep in it. You have to be very advanced, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
But I am cognizant though, because I sometimes cringe at some of the things that I write if I'm including too many of my senses that include hearing or talking, because I have some deaf followers on some deaf friends on social media. So I do try to be cognizant. If I say, oh, the sound of your voice today felt like rose petals against my skin, and they would be like, how does that sound, you know? So it's like I have to change it around. Because we can hear, like, all our senses are all meshed into one. We can feel with what we hear.
Yeah, that makes you so much clearer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the perception of the sound as well, it just goes together. But it's different for somebody that can't necessarily hear, you know, that feeling or the sound of that thing rubbing against you. Yeah, that's very intriguing, man. That's definitely food for thought. I like the way, that's something I can think about, because I'm always trying to almost challenge myself about exploring thoughts. So,
oh yeah, if you want to challenge yourself, Alex, just imagine when you write something next time that it's that somebody that has never heard a sound in their life is gonna read your writing, and can they feel what you're writing with no sound?
Yeah, that's powerful.
It really is.
Yeah. That's a lot of Okay. Can you share some of the values that, not necessarily through your experience, but just going through life, that you think have kind of, you know, made you steadfast, headstrong through some of the turmoil times that you've been through?
One of my biggest values, I mean, there are a lot of different values, but the first thing that came to my head right now when you asked that is the value of self-love. Because a lot of the things that I went through, a lot of the suffering that I went through, and even some of the heartbreaks that I've gone through, breakups and stuff, all of it came because I could have just loved myself a little more. And anytime I love myself just a little bit more, that little bit more love becomes a lot more. And many more doors open, and I feel in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing in life, even if I don't see the path or feel the path or know where I'm going. As long as I feel my love and I can spread joy and feel joy, doors are going to continue to open. Maybe not immediately, maybe it could take a month or two, maybe a year, but I know that as long as I'm following the fact that I am one with consciousness, that I'm one with the world, that I'm one with God, that I'm one with you, that I'm one with my writing, like I'm able to feel that unification and continue to love myself. Because if I love myself, I love you, I love everyone around me, I love the stranger down the street, and that love, that self-love that radiates to other people, they're going to feel that love, and all of a sudden they're going to feel lovely too. And I that's been one of my biggest values, self-love, because that's what's going to uplift yourself, and in uplifting yourself uplifts humanity.
I appreciate your answer, because just going through my own journey, I understand where you're coming from in terms of like just, you know, coming from a place of like self-love. And you know, you can't, a while ago I was at this workshop, and the question was, it was about empathy, and so it instantly in my head I had this thought where it's almost like, well, it's quite synonymous to like say self-love, isn't it? Empathy, this, that. And so in a sense, you can't necessarily empathize with somebody unless you begin to empathize with yourself to begin with. And so it brings me back to this whole situation, we're talking about self-love, and it's almost like, you know, you can't necessarily do for others unless you do for yourself first. So, but yes, in that whole essence of like doing for yourself, it's almost like everything starts to fall into place. And, you know, just even that entertainment idea, I think it breathes the learning of the path. Not necessarily just any path, but your path. The path that resonates the most with you. And you will know when you see it. And I think, it's almost like the universe is a universal thing that happens, where it's almost like everything just comes together. It just makes sense. It just, you know, almost harmonious, you know, everything just aligns, if you get what I mean.
Absolutely. And not just things around you, but also within your body. I mean, your body starts communicating more in harmony. Your cells, your heart, your brain, your mind, you become one with your own body. And you, when you become one with your body, I mean, you're just full of just joy, really. Your cells, your heart, your mind, your muscles, if you think about it, I mean, how many people are thanking their heart for beating? I mean, imagine how many beats it has taken to get you to where you're at right now, and it's still beating.
Yeah.
And if you could feel the poetic love of your heart and what resonates within your body, it's music within you. And so dance to your own music that you make, people are going to feel that, and it becomes infectious in a really good way.
Yeah, that's quite powerful, man. I think one of the main things I wanted people to get from this whole discussion is more the journey taken and the exploration of the obstacles that may have been faced, but also the tools to be used along the way or developed to tackle, overcome, or first the information, as they say. I think your story and your situation I think people can find so much inspiration from what you're saying, and especially what you've been through, and coming out the other side, and it's almost like grace to you in a sense where you're looking unscathed. You get what I mean? And I think there's power in that. I think a lot of people can get something from that, and that's why I wanted to really highlight values in terms of where you are now, treading the road that you traveled and the hardship, and just, you know, what were the values that almost kept you going through that? Because as you know, a lot of people go through so much, and having the right type of values, I think it takes you a long way. It's very important to have as a person.
It really is. And it could be challenging to say how for anybody suffering, like, how do you learn to love yourself when your body is rejecting you, or when your body is going against you? It's almost that people feel betrayed by their body. But there comes a time where if you have even a window of opportunity to even just thank your body, and that's where it begins, you know, just thank you for bringing me even as far as you have, even if you're suffering, I'm still alive. And once you come in from this grateful, appreciative vibration, then you can start to see how other things can unfold a little more beautifully, rather than always being locked in pain. And so the value in self-love comes with integrity, and it comes with compassion. It comes with peace. It comes with acceptance, forgiveness, and it comes with grace.
That's a powerful answer, man. We don't have much time, but man, this has been fun. I'm really I really enjoyed this discussion. I'm glad that we finally had this time to really put this together. We definitely would have to do this again.
I'd love that.
Absolutely, man. This has been great, and I'm sure people will really enjoy a lot of this stuff that we've kind of spoken about, and there's still so much more to speak about, you see. So
there really is.
Yeah, man. Is there anything that you wanted to share with my audience, or let them know where to find you and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. You can find me, you can go to my website at www.alittlelessfear.com, and if you'd like to message me, if you have any questions, you can send me an email at alittlelessfear@gmail.com. And it's the same handle on Instagram at @alittlelessfearpodcast, and or at @poetic.alignment, and also on TikTok, it's at @alittlelessfearpodcast.
Oh, that's great, man. And of course, I'll leave a link in the details for this episode for sure, which should come out soon, sometime next week.
Thanks so much, Alex. This has been incredible. I really appreciate your energy and your incredible poetic mind. I love it.
Thanks so much. And I appreciate you sharing a piece of your poem as well. That was powerful, man. That was powerful. I haven't written a love poem in a minute. I wrote one, I think it was in August. I had a good friend of mine was getting married, and he asked me to write something for him. That was the last time I wrote a love piece. But I still appreciate those, because that's where it started for me. I started with love poetry, and I just veered out from there. So it's been a pleasure, sir. It's been a
pleasure.
Thank
you so much.
Definitely.
Have a good day. Have a good evening. Yeah.
Same to you. Take care.
Thank you. You too.